from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and specifically from the Tzavos or Yavash, from the testament, the instructions of the Baal Shem Tov to his students. Again, not, as I've said each time, not before he died, but through the later years of his life, specific instructions that he had left. Each one of these sections that we've dealt with has really contained an enormous amount of material to discuss, and all of these are later on to form the basis of the teachings of all the Baal Shem Tov students, which would, of course, take up thousands upon tens and hundreds of thousands of pages. All of Chassidus is developing these ideas that we've been talking about. All of Chassidus is developing these seminal ideas, these concepts that we've been talking about. The last time we were together, we were learning the meaning of tefillah as it's discussed in the Tzavos or Yavash. And I wanted to fill in with just a little bit that's taken from if you see in the Hebrew, we've been doing the English translation of the Tzavos or Yavash, but the end of the white pages section we have from the Sefer Baal Shem Tov on Chumash, which is really just, Baal Shem Tov did not write any commentary on Chumash, he didn't write any commentary at all. The Sefer Baal Shem Tov on the Chumash was a compilation of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov that are found scattered throughout the writings of his students and the later Talmidim, the Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov, and were put together in this one place. And the introduction of that Sefer Baal Shem Tov on the Torah, and that introduction, we have in the introduction to the Sefer Baal Shem Tov on the Torah, this is a section called Omer HaTefillah. The Omer HaTefillah deals with the union of davening. So let's look inside. We're going to learn some very basic teachings from the Baal Shem Tov on tefillah and a mashal, a very famous and mysterious mashal of the Baal Shem Tov. So look inside the first Hebrew page at the end of this selection. Sarach, if you don't have it, then you'll have to share. Sarach adam lishmar pivul l'shanim akol dibur. The Baal Shem Tov was very strict about this, that before you daven in the morning, you should be careful not to speak a word, if possible. You should be careful as much as possible not to talk to anyone before davening, not to say a word. Even if it's a dvar shus, even if it's just a harmless thing, you know, where are my shoes, whatever. Not to say something before davening. But to Chazal were very, of course, we were very machmir. Chazal were very machmir, not to give shalom, not to say shalom. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Avzeh poigem kodem atfila. Any word that a person speaks before davening, it means in the morning, any word that you speak is poigem, it damages the tfila. It damages that davening, it affects that davening. Why? So the Baal Shem Tov taught, we know that Hashem created the world with the power of thought, speech, and action. And that's how our lives are divided into these three dimensions, these three realms of machshava, dibur, and maise. Thought, right? We first think of the, we first envision, we think of the concept, and then we are able to articulate the concept in speech, and finally, to act upon the original thought. Saif ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. The final thought is the final act connects to the original thought. Right? So when the person wants to build a house, he first envisions what that house would look like. And then he might discuss the plans and he articulate the plans. And then finally it would be carried out. And then when he finally finishes that last brick is laid in the house, it now is reattached to the original machshava, to the original concept of the original thought. So the Baal Shem says, "Bereishis hakol hu ha-machshava," and the beginning of everything is the thought. The beginning is the machshava. "V'hadibur hu anaf ha-machshava," and dibur, speech, is a branch. In other words, the root is one's thoughts, and then the branch that grows out of one's thoughts is speech. "V'hamaisi hu anaf ha-dibur," and then the physical act is a branch that grows out. That grows out of dibur, of speech. Therefore, he says, when a person gets up in the morning, he has been created once again. He's a new creature. Right, we thank Hashem for faithfully bringing us back to life, giving us a new life each and every day, each and every morning. So Baal Shem Tov says, "Im yedaber tchila dvar of divrei rishus." Now you can cause a terrible confusion if the first thing that you say in the morning, the first thing that you have to say is a dvar rishus. In other words, instead of speaking a word that comes from the deepest thought and the essence of the person, instead, if you begin the day by saying some meaningless thing or some dvar rishus, im yedaber tchila dvar of divrei rishus upshita, he says, dvar mashalokein, and certainly if you say something that's inappropriate, I mean, that goes without saying, right? If it's something which is inappropriate, afim lo yispalel v'yasek b'torah harka, hakol mistafen v'nimshochen achar hadibu harishon. Everything follows the first words that you say. In other words, the beginning is the root and source of all that's going to happen. Each day is like you exist independent of your existence the day before, and whatever will be tomorrow is a different, that's altogether a different existence. So in today's existence, the correct order should be machshava, dibur, and maisa. Machshava primarily means the first thoughts that I have when I wake up in the morning. And of course you can say words of holiness, modani, I mean, I'm not talking about brachas, right? But if your first thought is a thought of God, and then you utter words that are godly, Maudani, Nitzel Sadaim, Nashiyot, the whole thing. You say words that are holy, and you, without any break at all, you continue in tefillah, in davening. Then subsequently, the rest of the day is going to be an outgrowth or branches that are flowing from how the day began, and then you could carry out ma'isim. Your actions through the day are going to be affected by the original thought and words that were conceived of and that were spoken. That's what he means. Hakol mistafen v'nimshochen achar hadibur harishon. All will follow the first word. So if your first word is some desperate scream when the alarm goes off, or worse than that, so then that means that you've established. Remember, Hashem creates you again each day, and the order of creation, and you have to participate in that. You're a partner in your own creation, and the order is supposed to be machshava dibur ma'aseh, a thought, words, actions. So if your first thoughts and words are either silly or meaningless or stam, or, you know, what do you think of the game last night, you know, whatever, then what happens is that in the creation that you've opted for that day, you've established a precedent of how that day is going to, where that day is coming from. It's flowing from something that is shallow, that's insignificant, as opposed to coming from the life force and energy of a thought of holiness. Just like speech is an outgrowth of thought, and it's subservient to thought. Next page. So it is. Just like words flow from thoughts, so too other words will flow from the first words that you. In other words, there's a sequence here, and the words that you're speaking, if you begin with certain types of words, then those words are going to give birth to words that resemble them. There's a remarkable teaching that the roots of it is found in the Zohar, but it's explained at much greater length in the writings of the Arizal. I think maybe 6 years I spoke about this a little bit once before Purim, that in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, in the teachings of the Arizal, we find a relationship between the firstborn child, the son, the Bechor, the firstborn, which of course has Kedusha, who's holy, right, and davening. And what's the connection between the firstborn, the older brother, or the bechor, the firstborn? We know that according to the Torah, he, in terms of Yerusha, in terms of inheritance, we know that the bechor is notel pishnayim, bechol asher lo, right? The bechor receives a double portion. The firstborn has a double portion. So how does that relate to davening? So the Ari HaKadosh said that until the woman has her first child, now why this doesn't relate to a girl, to the birth of a girl, that's a complicated subject that is certainly worth discussing, but it will take us far off the mark of what we're talking about now. But that relates to the general question of why is it that the holiness of a bechor is only with a male? That relates to that question. But the point is as follows. Until the woman has her first child, she's not quite sure that she can conceive. Of course, all girls growing up take it for granted. They're going to be mommies, and they're going to... Well, nowadays, maybe they plan on being single until they're 35 or something, you know, and then they'll get married, whatever the plans are, however the plans have changed in modern times. But the traditional thought pattern of a girl would be that I'm going to have... I'll get married, and I'll have babies. She gets married, then they want to have children, and we know that there are many, many people that they're not zoichet to have children, or they're not zoichet to have children right away, or God forbid, in order to have a child, there has to be, sometimes there are difficulties and so on. So, once the woman is able to have her first child, this was explained in the writings of Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson, that once the woman is able to have her first child, then she already, once she has conceived, then she has the koach haleida. She has the ability to give birth. Once she had, now of course there's some people who are only able to have one child, but once there's the koach of leida, until that time, Rabbi Nachman taught in a mature mind, that woman should really be davening very hard, that she should be able to conceive. It's a very great blessing to have a child, and not everybody can. So she should be davening very hard to be able to have a child. But and until she has that first child, she doesn't know for sure whether she's able to conceive, whether she's able to bear a child. She doesn't know whether she'll be able to have a child. It's not certain. It shouldn't be taken for granted. But once the first one is there, so Rabbi Nachman taught that all the children that follow the first, they receive their koach from the first leida. Now, that is the root. The firstborn, why is the firstborn double? And why is there the holiness of the firstborn child? Why does that have kedusha? Because it establishes a precedent, right? It creates the opening. It means that there can be this metzias. There can be this metzias. And Rabbi Nosson gave unbelievable chizik with this, and he tied it into Purim that's just spectacular. But the chizik that he gave was that there's such a thing as firstborn tefillas. That very often we can't imagine that God's listening to our davening. We don't think that God's listening. But Rabbi Nachman said, and Rabbi Nosson explained, that if there's something, especially in a spiritual thing, like you're davening for the lottery sometimes, but if you're davening for something spiritual, and you persist, and then Rabbi Nachman promised, he said, you'll be answered. And once you answer once your first tefillah is answered, and you see that you have such a koch, if you're persistent, like Tzaddik said, that really Hashem would answer all of our tefillahs for spiritual matters. Physical things, we don't always know what's best for us. I mean, you can be davening for the wrong things. So Hashem doesn't know. But in spiritual matters, if you want to be able to keep Shabbos better, you want to learn more Torah, you want to be a better Jew. So Tzaddik said, certainly Hashem must answer those tefillahs. So why do we see that they're unanswered? So Tzaddik says, from the Ishbet said that because we don't persist. Because we have to break through a certain thing, we have to give birth. We have to give birth, and once you have that first one, then you say, you know, I can't believe it. It works. It mamash works. It really works. And Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson said that most people don't even try it. They just give up after a couple times, except the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, like Rabbi Nachman himself, when he had one day 70, he said that he asked. No, what am I talking about? It was something like 772 times. He said in one day he asked for a certain inyan, and it was only the last time that he was answered. 772 times he asked in one day. Something in Avayda, in Hashem, with Hashem. He didn't say what it was. Can you imagine? We don't even ask care for time. And we already give up. So once the person sees that there is, that, hey, I can have a kid. You know, I have the ability to have it. I can do this. So then davening becomes, all right, then you have a cheshek. Ooh, then it generates other babies. Then it brings other kids. The question is to establish a precedent. To make that a pattern. Right. To create a pattern and get things going. Once you feel that, then the rest of the tefillahs are going to come from the original davening. So I think he explains the whole thing with Mordechai and Esther and Lo Va'Aim. She had no parents, and Mordechai and the whole relationship between Mordechai and Esther and so on. It's just everything that happened in Shushan Habira. Mordechai goes out and screams. He taught the Jews how to daven. Until then, they didn't have to daven. They stopped davening, and Mordechai goes out and davens again. And then from that, everybody starts davening. It's a whole beautiful Torah. Yeah. Yeah, I gave it a long time ago. It's on tape somewhere. So the relationship between tefillah, and this is the relationship between tefillah, davening, and the firstborn. So that's what the Baal Shem, that comes from this teaching. This is traced back to his original teaching by the Rabbi Nachman's great-grandfather, by the Baal Shem. Where the Baal Shem, this is exactly what we're learning. Well, the Baal Shem says, and he brings this from the Baal Shem is bringing from the Zohar and from the Ari HaKadosh, that what? That all of the, that all of the tefillos, all of your thoughts, words, and actions on any given day are going to be outgrowths of your first thought, your first word, and your first action. And that's why it's so important to start in a good way. That's why it's so important, for instance, then learning before davening a little bit, and to strengthen the machshavas. When you're learning, you're strengthening thoughts of holiness. And you could talk in learning, of course you could talk in learning. Although there were tzaddikim that were careful even not to talk in learning. But you could talk in learning. I mean, he's talking about extraneous thoughts, talk, words that you shouldn't speak. Because that means that you have a firstborn that is not healthy. If the first thing you said that day was I can't believe it, I missed the train or something. So that establishes the that the rest of the day is patterned. That's the firstborn was an idiot, and he
kind of making the train home,
right? So that establishes a certain pattern of idiotic things for the rest of the day.
Why is it only a boy?
As opposed to a girl? So I said I'm not going to talk about that. I mean, the only boy, why not as opposed to a daughter? Or? Okay, that's a whole different subject. That's explaining what's the difference between the Zarchan and the Keva, and he's talking about the active energy that's called the male, right? The more passive is called the feminine, and the more active is called the masculine. This applies to men and women as well. But it doesn't mean Davka, man, Davka, woman. This applies to anybody's Avodah Hashem, man or woman.
Forgive me for interrupting, but what about Moshe Rabbeinu? He didn't know Rav Nosson or Rav Nachman, that if he would have prayed more, he would have gone into Eretz Yisrael.
He was... Hashem told him, Rav Lach, Al Taisav Davar Leva Darazah. So
he prayed. We said, how many times did he?
Tuf Kuf Tesvav.
But it wasn't enough, because according to Rav Nachman, if you 700 and so on and so forth, until finally, what we're saying is Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that.
Part of the Gezerah, it seems of Yaakov, that part of that there was a Gezerah that Moshe Rabbeinu was silenced. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yet, the Chassidish Sfarim do say that Moshe Rabbeinu should have gone right. It says in the Sfarim that Moshe Rabbeinu should have gone. But Hashem forcibly silenced him. Why? Because as we know from Chazal, if he would have said another word, that would have been it. And it wasn't the time for Gula. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would have come to Eretz Yisrael, that would have been it. That wasn't the plan. So Hashem silenced him.
What my difficulty is in understanding, I as an individual, I'm told, never stop, keep going, and it'll happen, right? But to Moshe Rabbeinu, it didn't happen, but to me, it'll happen.
Right. Right. That's not a contradiction.
Well, I think so.
No. Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, with his tough kuf tesavav tefillis, is it, look, all the tefillis that we're able to daven come from Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillis. When we read from the Avos, Mohos, and Moshe Rabbeinu, they were the Sharoshim, they were the roots of our people, and they made openings for us. They made openings for us. What's tragic, I don't know if tragic is the right word, because we associate it with Macbeth, But what's upsetting about that is that the Avos made openings for us that they themselves were not allowed to necessarily enter. And I find that, together with you, extremely upsetting. The Moshe Rabbeinu made an opening and he wasn't allowed to enter, but that was the Kach Ola B'machshav Olafan of Yisburach. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had that argument, Kivyachal, with the master of the world, the Rabbi Kiva, and he had other kashas, and the Baruch Shalom said, Shtok, if you say one more word, it's all finished. So he made an opening for us. And if not for that, we wouldn't be able to do all of this. But he made the opening, and now we can do it. He himself never came to Eretz Yisrael. You never thought of that when you stand by the Kaisel? Mm-hmm. You ever think of that? You stand by the Kaisel. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to come here, and I'm here. Like I got, I came on an airplane. I'm standing here. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come over here. No, I'm standing here. So it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed. He didn't have the schusim to come, and I have the schusim to come here. All he wanted to do was to be able to keep the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael and to see Eretz Yisrael, and here I am. But we wouldn't be there if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cry and scream and yell, because he made the opening for each and every one of us. But that was the hashgacha, and I think when we come to that point in questioning where Hashem says, "Be silent," also, and we can't go past that. There's nothing else to say.
So what you're really saying also is there's no tefillah that's not really answered.
Right.
It may not be for him, it may be for other generations.
Right. That's a big clown that teaches the Baal Shem Tov and his students. That there isn't a tefillah avuda. There's no such thing as a lost tefillah. All davening is poil something. The question of how and what and when and so, where, and but it's all poil something. So this is what the Baal Shem Tov is teaching. Kain hu kan, the third line on that second Hebrew page. Therefore, be very, very careful that the first word that you speak in the morning should be holy, should be pure. And also purify your first thought. That's your firstborn thought of the day. And the rest of your thoughts of the day are going to follow that first one. It should be attached to holiness. That it will draw after it all of the other words that you're going to speak that day. And then later, a little bit later, once you've gotten to shul and you're going to dav mitach simcha shal mitzvah, with the great joy of the mitzvah of tefillah, your davening will be in accordance to how you started your day. So if you start your day in holiness, so your tefillah will be able to be uplifted. Your davening will be a different davening. Hashem will certainly respond. Hashem will certainly answer your tefillah. The next page, on the bottom. Samachvav. Yesh Pam, the last Torah on that page. Not the footnotes, we'll do the footnotes in a minute. The Torah itself. Yesh Pam Sha'adam Reitzel Espala Bislavas. That happens sometimes that a person would like to daven Bislavas. You know, you would like to daven with enthusiasm. You really want to belt out a good tefillah. Then Yochel, but you can't. She'evarav Kveidim Alav. Your limbs are heavy. You just feel it, you just don't have the kayak, you can't do it. Feel it, you could do it. You're just heavy and tired. Whatever, physically, spiritually, you just can't do it. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, Amar. Yisrael Baal Shem Tov taught. Shadovid HaMelech Olu V'Shalom Espayla Alzeh. What did David HaMelech do when he felt that he couldn't move? What did David HaMelech do when he felt he couldn't open his mouth to daven? He davened. That he should be able to daven, yeah? And what did he daven? Al Tashlicheini La'es Zikna. Hashem, please, don't throw me into old age. Don't throw me into old age. She'evar b'kveidim alav kizokin, because I feel that my body is weighing me down, physical life is weighing me down, like a zokin, like an old man. And that's what he said, that David HaMelech meant, the deeper meaning of when David HaMelech daven, atashlicheini le'izikna, don't cast me into the old age. He did. How does one get cast? You know, there's a natural seder to one's life. If you're 119, then the year that follows you're 120. We understand that the Mefarshim say don't cast me into old age means that, you know, you don't pay attention to the years going by and suddenly you feel like you've aged a great deal and you feel like the past, you know, you've lived most of your life and you wonder what did I accomplish. And that's what Mefarshim explained. But the Baal Shem Tov said on a deeper level, it means at any point in life. It means any point in life. It means you could be 15 years old, 20 years old, whatever it is, but you're conducting yourself like an old person. You don't feel excited. You don't feel exuberant. Therefore, the Baal Shem says to daven that you should be able to have, that you should be able to daven. There should be a tefillah that you should be able to. So then the question, of course, is, so then the question is, so what about, I'm not going to have Islavas not davening? And that's not true. To have a rotzen to daven, you don't have to have the same Islavas that you have in davening itself. You have to sincerely want. And to sincerely want, It means to drive away that old age that is setting into your life, and that's something that's a good passage to think about when you come to daven in the morning and you're not into it. You could say it like a mantra. Say it 10 times. Atashlicheni leizikna. David went through this also. And he davened that he shouldn't be old. He shouldn't be old. He should be young. He should be able to daven with kaiches. Now, I wanted to do this moshel on the bottom because there's a moshel from the Baal Shem Tov in the Mekor Mayim Chaim. There's a moshel from Baal Shem. That's brought down in the Or HaMeir from the Tzaddik from Jatam. In the Sefer Or HaMeir, Al Kehelis, the Bemasel Revise Atayva Kostav Zelashar. Listen to this, Marshall. It's brought down in many of the Svarim of the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, but the clearest presentation is in the Or HaMeir. He writes the following: Marshall Noah B'Shem Baal Shem Tov. There is a beautiful Marshall. And that was said by the Baal Shem, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, B'loi Nimshal. But the Baal Shem Tov himself did not tell us what the mashal means. He did not explain the parable. He just said, this often happened with the Baal Shem Tov, that he said a certain mashal, but he didn't decipher it. So he left it up to the tzaddikim and to all of us to try to decipher, to understand what's the deeper meaning of the mashal. So what's the mashal? Melech echad hayol ha'ish yadeilan agen b'kinor b'tachlis ha'yayfi. There was a king who had a servant who knew how to play the violin, b'tachlis ha'yayfi. Master musician, a master violinist. Beautiful. And there was a particular piece of music that the king loved more than any other nigun. And the king so much loved this nigun, this song, that he had this master violinist play this nigun. He would command him to play it a number of times the same day. You can't disobey the king, and that in fact is exactly what he would do. Liyamim, some time had passed. Baha nigin ba'enihem anagin leklal zikna, the Baal Shem Tov said. The nigin, the song, had reached old age. What does that mean? See, he couldn't take it anymore. The king had him play this song a few times every single day until it became amish old. He couldn't take it anymore. It's like eating the same exact thing, the food becomes old. Right? It's stale. Stale. It means it's stale. It's old. You don't have a cheshik for it. He didn't care for it anymore. The song had become an old song. That's what it means. Liyom v'hanigin peini hamenagin leklal zikna. It reached old age. It became old. V'nitel mimeno a cheshik v'sayus kiyom yomima. And that earlier cheshik, that earlier desire that he had to play the song had already disappeared. So there's a problem because the king didn't lose. The king loved this song. The king loved this musician. So he had to have his quota. So what happens? So Asahamelach lahachnis this iris v'cheshek ahava lemanagin. What did the king do to awaken, to reawaken, to revive within the menagin, the musician, that cheshek to play, the desire to play? Hayikari b'chol yoyim b'chol pam sherotzel l'shmei zanigin hayoshabein of ish chadash mikarav b'mi hashuk. Whenever the king wanted to hear this nigin, So he would invite some person who had never been there before, who had never come to hear the nigun. He would invite that person to be the audience, the king and this individual. So when the musician would see a new guy, so then he would have a new cheshik, right? There's a new audience, there's a new cheshik. Uliyais, who had never in his life heard the nigun. Uliyais shehaish mikarav ba, since he was a new arrival. Garim chashkes v'slavas mechadish l'menagin. It brought about a renewed excitement to the menagin, to the musician. V'nohag ha'melech kein zman rav. And the king went on this way, each day inviting, a number of times each day, different people to come and to hear a nigun. The king began to think again, what am I going to do with this musician? It's a pain in the neck already to send out each time to get some guy to come over and to listen to the nigun. It's a pain in the neck. To bring him to a new hisayrus, a new awakening. So the king came to the following decision. This was his thought. He commanded to the musician's eyes to be removed. He had his eyes removed. He blinded him. So he should never ever see. Tayyar Dmus, next page. Tayyar Dmus Adam. That he should never see. Tayyar Dmus Adam, the image of the person who was there, who came to listen. Whenever the king would be in the mood to hear that song, he would tell the menagin, there's a new guy in the audience. There's somebody new. And then the musician had a new delight, a new pleasure in playing. Since he couldn't see, he didn't have the eyes to see any person. When he really thought there's something new, ad kan hamashal. That was the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Aramea writes about this. It's a very profound lashon. The Oram Heyer explains. And I have been asked, what is the meaning of this teaching? What is the meaning of this marshal of the Baal Shem? The Shetarma said that it seems to him that this is the Baal Shem Tov taught this regarding davening. That the marshal is a marshal to teach us how to daven. That for whatever reason, the master of the world, the king Hashem, has great delight and pleasure when we say that Ashrei and the Yishtabach and we go through the whole thing. Hayom Yom, that Hashem loves the niggun. Hashem loves that when we say those words to Him. Shemoneh Esrei Brachos, Shetiknu Havas, the 18th, the Shemoneh Esrei, and so on. Avram Tikkun Tfilas Shachris, Avram Avinu established Shachris, Yitzchak Tfilas Minchi, Yaakov Tfilas Arvos. Vina B'chol Yom Shonim Mispalim Tikkun Yatfila. Each and every day we get up and we say these same words. To us, it seems like it's one Shemoneh Esrei. Right? It seems like one Shemoneh Esrei. Lokeinu Lokev, instead of Morgan Avram, Bechaya, Mesa, Makela, Kodesh, Atachoinen, and so on. It's one Shemoneh Esrei. We've been saying it thousands of times. This one Shemoneh Esrei. It makes a lot of people crazy. Kibishach, Vizika, Tfilah, Shemoneh Esrei, Brachis, Vechem, Beminchim, Vechem, Barvis. Same thing. Shemoneh Esrei, Shachos, Mincha, Ma'avos. The same. The most important part of davening, of course, the essence of Tefillah. Shemoneh Esrei. Well, Chenof, let's learn how to do Tefillah lebchina zikna. So our davening, our Shemoneh Esreis, have become old. They're old. They're stale. We have no cheshik to daven them anymore. So Ma'asa Hamelach Tefillah we should create. But he says there's an Eitzah from the Melech Malkus Shalom, from the King of the Universe. There's an Eitzah. Shaleach la'adam b'chol yom v'yom b'chinas shaynas sheyikach la'atma remiza d'chachmasa. Each and every day, Hashem sends us new events, new things, new thoughts, new occurrences. Each and every day, you have to pay attention to this. You have to look. But each and every day, there are remizim d'chachmasa. There are hints of Hashem's wisdom, of Hashem's presence, that are sent to us in an entirely different way. And this can arouse and awaken our hearts to love Hashem. And that Jew who has a greater portion of understanding, and he has a good awareness, a strong sensitivity, his soul knows great in a great and clear way. As is taught in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Kisveri, that no two tefillos are the same. What do you mean? We're saying the exact same words. Shemesh is the exact same words. But the person who understands knows that no 2 days are the same. And no 2 moments are the same. And therefore, those very same words, for the person who is in touch with the youthfulness of davening, knows that every single day the same words mean something different to me, mean something different, apply to something else that I've seen, something else that I've understood that could be applied to my life. That's what it means. Ain't tefillah achas daim le'tefillah shniyah b'shum oifen in any way. U'mashem mesaken b'shachris and mesaken b'mincha v'aris. What you're taking care of by shachris, it sounds the same to us. But what you're fixing, what you're able to do by Shachris, you can't do by Mincha, and by Mincha you can't do by Marv, and so on. V'akol teila b'harochas ha'machshavas b'maseya b'chutz v'lekichas b'chinas remiza. It all depends on what you notice during the day, what your thoughts are, what you're paying attention to, what's different about you that day, what's different about the world that day, what's different about things that you notice that day. We call Dover Barlow from everything in the world. There's no audience. There's no audience each and every day. All the events, all the things, all the thoughts that surround you is like a new audience that's awakened, that stirs you to it's the same niggun, just like the menagin played the same song, the musician played the same piece every day, but there were different machshavas. Why? Because there's something else that's tuned into my niggun. So too, it's the same Shemoneh Esrei, but there's another part of my life of creation that's listening to my, that's connected to my davening, to my niggun. And this person of understanding, wherever he looks, he sees godliness enclosed in a new way, in a different way. And this awakens, this arouses within the person a new cheshek, a new desire in love, to speak words before Hashem. With fear, with awe, with reverence, and with love. Not like some old thing. I davened this yesterday. It's already, what happened? Again, another Baruch Shema. How many times can I say the same thing? No, it's with a cheshek and his lavas. As if he never done before. As if this is the first time he ever said these words. When the king of all kings sees how this servant is trying so hard to grasp and to find his presence in all different times of life, every day in some other way. Next column, that this man is trying to see how does God appear to him differently each and every moment of his life. Then Hashem no longer has to send you. This is the highest level. Then you no longer have to go through all the changes, all the events of life to get you to daven differently. Like, you know, today the market is down. Oh, you're running shalom, it's going to be. And today my kid's not feeling well, you're running shalom. It comes to a point in the life of this wise person who is spending his entire life searching for those changes and connecting to Hashem and always putting new feelings into the old niggin, it comes to a point where it's not necessary anymore. Kim lokech me'ito chizu d'hai almin ha'shofel. And then he becomes blind. God pokes his eyes out. What does that mean? In the end of the story, the highest madrega is when the menagin can't see anything anymore. He doesn't have to see anything anymore. So the Baal Shem Tov, so the RMA is explaining, it comes to a point in the person's life, who his entire life is struggling to find God every single moment in a different way and so on, where Hashem takes away from him all vision of this world. It's no longer necessary for him to see this world. Hashem shows him a glimpse of the world to come. Which is way above the Seder Zmanim, all times and differences and changes, you know. It's that world of Hashem. It's that world that's above time. We don't understand what this means, but this is the tzaddikim. This is about the tzaddikim. And that's why there were tzaddikim who, I'm not saying it has to be this way, but there's many tefillah didn't apply to them as they apply to regular people. We don't ask any kashas. You know, not to ask, I mean, you can ask, some people ask kashas. Why is it that the tzaddikim are davening, that they have different zmanim and so on? Bisham enis chalkas amidas klal. In that higher realm of existence, where the tzaddik is blinded already to this world, things are not divided up the way that they are before our eyes. It's all one thing. It's all one. Became in Shabbalah, but one without ever getting tired of it. One without ever getting tired. It's like it's constantly feeling that excitement. It's constantly feeling that excitement of the beginning, without getting bored and tired of it. It's just constantly new. Since it's no longer under the control of time, therefore it can never get old. Old age, aging is a process that takes place in this physical world of time. In the life of this person who's finally risen above that, nothing gets old. Nothing gets old. I was just reading to one of the children that I saw on Friday night that the Chavetz Chaim, what this, I don't know, it's not, maybe it's not, feel like it's silly. To me, it touched me in a very, I'm thinking about it the last couple of days. That Chavetz Chaim, when he was already very, very old, it was the year of his death. So, you know, there were different people, that there were different bachrim and people that they were assigned to keep an eye on the tzaddik. You know, and now if they hear something, and the Chavetz Chaim was very old. So there was one of the Talmidim that he heard laughter coming from the Chavetz Chaim's room. Now, there was nobody there. And the Chavetz Chaim, although he was always smiling, it was very, very rare that he would actually give a real laugh. Like Purim, he would laugh. Otherwise, he would smile, but laughing, and he was laughing loud. And he got a little scared, like, you know, what's going on? There was nobody there. So this Talmud peeked through the crack, and this is what he saw. He saw that the Chavetz Chaim was sitting up in bed, and he couldn't sit in the chair anymore. He was in bed, and he was reading the parasha. And the parasha, he was a Marmasadra. And the parasha was saying about how the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, couldn't get up because they had skin, they had boils all over their body. And the Chavetz Chaim started to laugh. Ha, 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 you see, Mitzrayim? You see that, Taro? Ha, 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 you know, he's laughing. Like a child that was, he was like he was there. And he told over this Maitzah And, you know, he went from there. He said the Chofetz Chaim was laughing for a half, close to a half hour, about how you thought you were going to outsmart the Baruch Shalom. But the Chofetz Chaim was saw that parasha, just Kriyas HaTorah how many times over all those years, right? And then how many times did he learn it? And how deep was his understanding? But when he read the parasha, it was brand new. It was like, look. Ah, they can't even get out of bed. They're all messed up with the shechinah with the makis mitzrayim. He couldn't, and he started to laugh. Look at this. You think you're gonna outsmart the Baruch Shalom? And he was so happy and so excited, like a little kid that just for the first time saw this, you know. And the little medrash says, for the first time he saw it, and he's excited. The Chofetz Chaim, because it didn't get old. Because the Chofetz Chaim was already wasn't in this world anymore. He wasn't in this world of old age, where there's a seder of zmanim and everything, right? Havoydetz al tamlochu des kevin she'en a teilu b'chnis a zmanli is nefilz b'chnis for us oived who is a kadosh baruch hu b'cheshet god of the slavis b'voices a havo b'chal prati ita v'regor b'ilti his slavis b'mtsoz m'dregis klav. He doesn't need this to change and this to happen, and I have to meet this person and do that each day there should be a million different things. He could sit in his chair, and that's the whole story. That's it. He could sit in his chair, and in that place, he's connected to the higher world. And he in that higher world, it's, as I was talking to the boys in school, it's love at first sight every single second. It doesn't get old. It's constantly love at first sight. It never changes. It never becomes boring. It never ever loses excitement. It never becomes old. Was This was the teaching of how the Sadik Mzatam explained the Marshal of Balsham. Of when it comes to tefillah, the changing that the, when it comes to davening, I once told in the shul that there was a Jew that was davening. He was in Rizhin, and he was davening. He would come to Shachris at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. He would daven Shachris, and the Rizhin saw him standing there with his 1,000 tefillin 10, 11 o'clock. So the Rizhin called him over. And the Rizhin asked him, "What's going on? What are you davening at 11 o'clock in the morning? Why don't you daven in the morning? Why are you davening so late?" So the chassid said, in all due respect to Rabbi, the Rabbi himself davens 10, 30, 11, sometimes 12. So, you know, it was a chutzif, you know. He answered, but it was a good kasha, you know. So the Rabbi said to him, listen to me. The vision is said like this. He says, listen. He said, once upon a time, I think I told this to you once, yeah. Once upon a time, it could be new. Once upon a time, there was this husband and wife that every single day for breakfast was exactly 8 o'clock, and every single day, no matter what, he would come back from shul, it'd be 8 o'clock, and she would bring him a bowl of bean soup. Every single day. 30, 40, 50 years, the same bean soup. Right? 8 o'clock on the button. So then the vision is said, well, what happened? One time he comes there, comes back from shul, takes his coat off, sits down, it's 8 o'clock, 8:05, 8:10, 8:10, 8:15, 8:20. She brings him out a bowl, and she comes out with a bowl of beans, and he says, I can't take it anymore. And he throws over the bowl of beans. So she said, I don't understand. Yankel, for 50 years I brought you, all of a sudden you can't be silent anymore. I brought you bean soup for 50 years. He says, no. Every day when it was at 8 o'clock, so no, I was macabre that this is what I get it at. But when it was already 8:15, 8:20, I thought, who knows what she's cooking? Maybe there's something taka different today. Maybe there's something going on over there. You know, and I got all excited. Maybe there's something different. And then you brought me out the same bean soup after 20 minutes, the same bean soup. I said, listen to me, Rabbi, you better daven the regular time. When I daven a letter, it's because I'm preparing some new stuff for the Burnish Lama. I'm giving him something new. But for your bean soup, you could do it at 7 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to go 10 o'clock in the morning for your bean soup. You understand? It was a strong patch. And for those people who think that they're from the chassidim yishayim, that they're nai chassidim, you know, that they're going to daven, because the bells are the old tzaddik needs to daven. We have stories that they walk around the streets with 1,000 tefillin at quarter to 12 in the afternoon. They have to answer to the revisionist story. If you daven, listen. There is such a thing, but you better be making a good dish. If you're davening quarter to 12, 11:30, quarter to, you better be preparing something really good. But if it's the same Ashrei, and the same Shemin Esrei, then you should be up doing that at 6 o'clock, 6:30, like everybody else, and go and work and do what you have to learn, whatever it is. But there can be such a thing. But the tzaddikim, there is such a thing. And we don't chas v'chalila have any kashas, you know. The damshin over in Yerushalayim Sunday morning, he's still walking around with a shtreimel. He goes to Bris Sunday morning. He's still Shabbos there. You know, there's different zmanim. There's different zmanim. But that's a madriga. That's a madriga. Let's finish the last piece on the last page.
Are there different interpretations of that story?
Yeah. Slight variations, but all the ones that I've ever seen say that it's talking about davening. But there are some slight variations. What it means that he's blind and so on. But it's talking. But davening seems to.
The blindness is not a positive thing, but
it's got to be positive.
It's got to be positive.
Sure.
Because the way he couldn't, the musician was having trouble, perhaps, and therefore he had to blind him to get. So in this interpretation, it's the highest madriga.
Yeah.
This interpretation where something has to be done to him in order to attain a higher level.
I mean, suffering.
Like it's not.
But there's some suffering. I never saw that. Because the whole Torah of the Baal Shem is to bring someone to a higher madriga, davka, you know, in a positive way. I never saw that presented in a negative way. But, I don't know. You know, when we put our hand over the eyes for Krishna, we're trying to touch a little bit that place of not seeing this world. That's what, you know, when you go into the mikveh, you're trying a little bit, you know, not to be in this, not to see this world. Krishna, when you cover your eyes, it means to be blind to this world. To be blind to this world means that it means to attach to something that's beyond this, and therefore not to be subject to the changes of this world. That's why when it comes to Kriya Shema, even outside, you know, you don't stop for outside disturbances. You know, you have to stay with it. You have to stay with it, because Kriya Shema is a different place. You're closing your eyes not to see this world when you're saying Kriya Shema. Well, that's like when a person feels intense pain. There's a natural instinct is to with the eyes, which is, you know, to wince the eyes, right? When you feel, because Rabbi Nachman said that when you want to see something that's far away, that's what you do, to focus. So when a person is experiencing pain, so this life, Rabbi Nachman said, what you're in right now becomes unbearable. So the only way you can continue is if you close your eyes a little bit to try to see beyond this world. And that's the only way that a person can tolerate pain. Or else you get lost in it. You might just can't live with it. So the wincing is that effort that man makes. It's not something he thinks about, but it's the effort that one is making to be able to see beyond this world. Because if it's only this moment, it's too much pain. I can't take it. The last piece that we're going to do in this chelik, Mavur b'kisvei Arizal, and this is really to complete what we just learned. This marshal, it connects to this marshal. Mavur b'kisvei Arizal she'ein b'chinas tefilas shel yom zeh doimel l'tefilas yom acher. It's brought in the kisvei Ari that this is what we're just talking about. That the tefila of one day is not the same as the tefila of any other day. Ad bi'as Mashiach. Till Mashiach comes, there's never been two tefilas that are the same. That is the simple pshat in the Mishnah. That if you're davening, if you want your davening to have with to be filled with yearning, with craving, with longing, it's only when it's not old. It's only when there's something different about today's tefillah, and you feel that there's something different, or else it's just kava. It's just stuck. It's a set tefillah. It's not a tefillah that's filled with longing, with beseeching Hashem. B'shamati b'shem Mori, and I heard from my teacher, from my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. This is a Torah from Toldos Yaakov Yosef. I heard from my Rebbe, that's the Baal Shem Tov. Mori fosal zem, and amachshova zara, shaborin lo'odim, b'emtza tefillah misad ha-shvira, v'reish peiches nitzaitzen, shetzarachot n'levar b'chol yoyim. He says that my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, said, if you want to understand this, you will see this from the negative. The what? That a person is trying to daven, and then you have all of a sudden these alien thoughts, these bizarre thoughts. And these thoughts that are coming into a person in the middle of davening, they come beside a shvir from the mystery of the shattered vessels and the 288 sparks. We're not going to get into that Kabbalistic concept at the beginning of time, the shattering of Hashem, Tzarchal Mavar Kol Yom, that each person has to try to Mavar. In other words, if Hashem said, if there's a certain thought, he's not talking about when you're looking at something that's inappropriate, and then you have a negative thought. That's no, you don't have to be a a rugged shabbat to figure that out. I mean, if you're looking at something, if you're reading a disgusting article in the newspaper, and then you're standing shemesh and you have a disgusting thought, so I can't believe it. Why is this happening to me? I mean, it's happening because you prepared. You made the hachanis, and that's what's happening to you. Some people go to the mikveh, and you go into the newspaper. First thing in the morning, right? So that's that person's hachan. So the rest is a mela. It's no pella. But sometimes the Baal Shem Tov thought it happens that a person is just, you know, he said his maidani. He's a good guy. He's trying to do everything right, and comes. He gets like attacked. So that comes from the side, the mystery of those, of that responsibility that you have, that only you have that day. Something that you have to work on, something that you have to be mivar, that you have to fix. This is a very deep concept, to lift up this thought. Isn't it interesting? One day to the next, you have all kinds of different sick thoughts. Usually you don't have the same, you don't have the same crazy thoughts. A new one today. And I am awesome. So the Baal Shem Tov says, isn't that interesting? When it comes to Kedusha, when it comes to a new tefillah, you can't do it. It's like an old Shemoneh Esrei. When it comes to Narishkeit, hey, something new. It's a new thought. So the Baal Shem Tov said, this is a proof. That the Baal Shem Tov is sending you something new, so your tefillah should be new tefillah. There's something new that's getting thrown in your direction to work on, to become great in, to fix that day, which you didn't fix yesterday, and tomorrow's a different day. You can't be fixed. This is it. From the beginning of time till Mashiach, that's your job. That day. Whoever pays attention to this will notice this. How to fix these thoughts and how to reattach these thoughts to holiness is exactly where we're leaving off now, which is just this we're going to begin to learn inside the Tzavos HaRivash, in which next week, or the next 2 weeks, are going to be spent discussing the meaning of halos, samachshavos, of trying to lift up and repair the thoughts that have fallen into impurity. So the peach.